Hello and welcome to Women's Biz Podcast. I'm Annie Gibbons, founder and CEO of Women's Biz Global, and I invite you to get comfortable and listen in on candid conversations I have with fascinating women from around the globe. Business leaders, entrepreneurs, humanitarians, athletes, and a whole lot of regular people. Tune in as they let their guard down and open up on aspects of their business and life journey, how they measure success, and what they have learned along the way. These conversations aim to inspire you to embrace opportunities and possibilities beyond the limits of your imagination. Reclaim your power, strength, and vulnerability. Stand in your truth and propel yourself towards the life you dream to live. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Women's Biz Podcast. Annie Gibbons here. I look forward to this part of the week every single week because it's all about giving to you, our beautiful listeners around the globe. And we're going to have a fantastic time talking to our special guest today, Mary Beth Hoskins. So we're going to be talking all things book publishing, launching, talking from how she's been an expert in the tech area to then even not-for-profit leadership, how she throws it all together and still looks amazing and calm while trotting around the globe now, promoting her book. Welcome to the program, Mary Beth.
Oh, thank you so much, Annie. That's wonderful. I'm not sure how good I look, but hey, I'm going to take it. You know, any comment's a good comment, you know, that's great.
You are more than welcome. For that's only for those of you who are watching on YouTube and on LinkedIn Live. You also, of course, most of our listeners are on our audio platform. So wherever you are, we're chatting away, having a great conversation. Some of you may not know Mary Beth Hoskins. I know it's possible. So let me just tell you a little bit of background. She is a pragmatic and seasoned technology leader. She's extensive experience in organizational transformation, which I totally love, and she's currently the CEO of Vic ICT for Women. So she's published her first book, which was called In One Piece. Oh my gosh, I love this book. It's a step-by-step guide to surviving change. And haven't we all been through that? So she did that, of course, at the beginning of COVID when we all had to get thrown into change. So very good timing. Her next book was called When Now Means Now. What are you waiting for, everybody? So this is a handbook for career change, advancement, and progression. Totally fantastic book. She launched that in May 2023. And now she's gone and backed it up. She's obviously on a roll. She's gone and backed it up now with an amazing new book, which we are going to be talking about today. I'm not going to jump the queue on that one. She's also a multi-award winning leader. She's recently been awarded the WeQual Technology Award for her work in raising awareness for women in STEM. And let's face it, we need so many more women in STEM, all the sciences. Oh, my goodness. Why not, ladies? So such a male-dominated area that she's been homed in. She still managed to become a CEO through that. Quite the challenge, but not impossible. And we are now going to talk about her new release, which is just coming out, if not now. It's called Not Another Digital Transformation, the 10X Generation State. There we go. I hope you're all caught up on how awesome this woman is. So my first question to you, Mary Beth, is tell us about the book in your words.
All right. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background, Annie, and for the listeners as well.
Excellent.
Anyone that works in technology, in fact, any business, will have gone through at least one, I'm going to use inverted commas for those people who are not watching, digital transformation. And I've been through about 8 digital transformations. And for a lot of us, and when we talk digital transformation, I'm not talking about a technology uplift where technology needs to be uplifted because it's at end of life. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when an organization isn't performing as best as it could, and the C-suite decide they're going to bring in some consultants. And those consultants say, well, the reason that you're not working or you're not as efficient as you could be is because your IT function doesn't work. It doesn't work well enough. So we need to do a digital transformation. We need to do an organizational, we're going to do organizational changes all under this banner of digital transformation. And so the consultants will come in, they will promise a whole lot of things to the organization. They'll come in, they'll do the work. Then they'll walk away and say, look, see what we've delivered. It's great. And then 3 to 4 months later, maybe 6 months later, the organization's gone back to its old ways of working the way it operated before, because the problem wasn't necessarily with the IT function. The IT function may be a byproduct of the problems, but it's not generally a problem within the IT function itself. So when we focus purely on IT as the problem from an efficiencies perspective, we miss half or three quarters of an organization. So not another digital transformation is exactly that. It is intended to be, and I say this deliciously derisive, it's intended to be that. It's intended to shake things up, because there are a lot of consulting companies that have made their bread and butter on digital transformations. Mm. And we are suggesting that maybe that's not the way about this. So we look at scaling without bloating the business. Mm. We look at being able to continually delivering like a startup. If you've worked in a startup, you'll understand what that means, is that there's so much delivery going out, so many things pushing out. Everybody incredibly excited because they all have the same vision and visibility, and they're able to do that. And then as the business grows from startup, it starts to create silos. You start to create different departments. And when they stop and cease to talk to each other, then the people within those departments lose visibility. And if you are in the technical space, you lose visibility about all of that. And so we want to circumvent that. We want to stop this endless cycle of digital transformations and putting people through that by saying there is a better way. And that better way is the 10X generation state. So really we talk about going exponential. You will have heard of 10X, 10Xing your business, which really means just going 10 times 10, right? So what does that look like? We're talking about it not just from a technology perspective. We're talking about it from an organizational perspective. So this really is looking at your organization as a whole and throwing away what you thought was the right way, you know, the tall structure or the flat structure, throwing all that away and going with something completely different. It is radical. It's radical. It's revolutionary. And we know that it is. And this is why we feel it's quite, it will be very interesting for those people that have been through multiple digital transformations. They will want to read it. Those people who work in the digital transformation space will want to read it, because what are they saying that's different? And C-suiters, those that are really in trouble and really want to go exponential, will want to read it. So we've targeted at everybody.
Mm. Wow. What an intro. What a summary of why. And I absolutely love that, because none of our listeners would be saying, I don't want to go exponential. Everyone wants to go exponential, but it's true. We all have these stages on cycles of digital transformations. I've been through at least 5 or 6 of them. And so I know exactly what you're saying. I'm doing one now, just launching an organization's new website. They get one every 3 years. I've got a new one happening in women's biz. And we often just think of, you know, that tech piece, that website, the comms, the funnels, the this and the that. Whereas what you're actually saying is we're breaking that cycle, that endless cycle, and we're achieving a state of organizational alignment. It's like everybody in the organization, are you aligned with the technology that you use to go exponential? Have I got it right there?
Not just are you aligned with the technology, are you aligned as a business? Are you aligned? Does the sales function understand what the marketing function needs? Does it understand what the finance function needs? Does IT understand everything in that space? Because what you do have is that issue where, oh, IT is just so slow. I'm going to bring in my own software over here and I'm going to implement that, and then I'm going to just get IT to support it later.
Yeah.
And we call that shadow IT, and that really just overburdens a team. They had no visibility to the decision-making process in the beginning. What you do have with that is decisions get made, contracts get signed, licensing deals get signed without a true knowledge of what that means. And then there's an additional cost to the business. And then when you implement a new system without the IT function being involved in that, suddenly you need additional headcount. And then you get that, well, why do you need more headcount? It's over here in the finance department, as an example. It's in the HR department. So it's got nothing to do with IT, but hang on. We have to support this, and we know nothing about this. And so what we're saying is we're opening up a business and saying structure yourself differently so that everybody has a view. Now, in a business sense, you've got your 30,000 foot view, that's your strategic layer.
Yeah.
You've got your 20,000 foot view, your tactical layer. And then you've got your operational view, or that 10,000 foot view. So you've got your 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 foot view, right? You would know that. Most people know what that looks like. And what you might not realize is that within the 10,000 foot view, it's like a babushka doll, right? You've got a 10,000, you've got the operational, you've got the tactical, you've got the strategic. Because the strategic in an operational tier is going to be different to what that is looks like in this, the tactical, and be different to what it looks like in the strategic. And what gets lost is that those areas don't talk with each other. So you have to have alignment from the strategic layer within the operational layer against the tactical, against the strategic, and it all needs to work together. It's symbiotic, but we don't do it. And we have a lot of, and this is where we get bloat. This is where we get a lot of different individuals. We bring in more people. So if we bring in shadow IT, we need people to run that. Then we need people over here to run that in the IT function. And suddenly you've got 10 more people to run this system that the IT function didn't even know about. So we really want to break the back of that and just say, you don't need to operate in this way. If you operate where everybody has visibility to what is going on, everybody understands what everyone else's deliverables are, then it actually makes it a lot easier. You remove this adversarial piece from your organization. And if you are in an organization that isn't adversarial and doesn't have the, it's their fault or it's IT's fault and it's IT's problem, then I absolutely applaud you because there's very few of them around.
Absolutely. So this 10X generation concept is really pioneering. It's not seeking to fix what's broken. It's not going about that. It's actually saying you're inviting organizations, businesses to actually build something entirely new. This is groundbreaking work. How did you, I know you co-authored this book with Adi Kaura. How did you two come up with this concept? What was it that actually brought you together and went, you know what, we need to do business differently?
And I love that you're asking all these right questions because these we've done a whole lot of videos which are on YouTube and across all social media platforms, on LinkedIn, etc. So if you want to hear Adi and I talking about all the different concepts in the books, I invite you to sign up with 10X Generation and have a look at the videos because we go into those concepts a little bit deeper than we will get the opportunity to today, Annie. Needless to say, Adi and I worked together and we were coming out of a meeting with a business stakeholder, and the two of us literally put our heads in our hands and said, how do they not know what's going on? This is just feels like it. And it was relentless. It was meeting after meeting, and we sat down and I remember we walked into a meeting room and we just kind of sat down, put our hands in our heads and said, there has to be a better way. And we went, we've been doing this combined 36 years of experience, Adi and I. We said, I think we know what the better way is. We should write about it. So we started to write what we thought. We started to pull the concepts together and started to flesh that out, and then managed to land a publishing deal with a UK publisher who were very keen to help us explore this because it is around organizational change. So we then started writing the book, but it was really out of that idea of it has to change and somebody has to have the courage to write about this. And it's challenging to write about because there are cottage industries around digital transformation, yes. Annie. They absolutely are. There are people that their entire life is around going into an organization, doing a digital transformation, walking away, then going back to that organization because it hasn't quite landed as they thought it would, so they're doing it again. And they're just going over and over and over, rinse and repeat into all these different organizations and never really achieving what the answer was that the business was actually looking for. And we just thought we need to write something that helps the individual, that helps the leader, that helps the executive, break that cycle.
Mm. And what I'm hearing is there's two sides to this in the disruption that you're going to create with this book. You've got those cottage industries who actually love that deal. You come in, you do it, but they often don't give you enough information, don't bring everybody online. So they need to come back, come back, come back. And also there's a lot of like businesses. So this is an industry. Also, you've got from the business side of things, you've got a response that you're giving, you're responding to exhaustion and challenges that all business leaders have because of this, the way modern business is actually set up. So with that means, wow, we're going to actually have to rejig the whole way we do business. So that's huge, all right? I'm not surprised this is going to be such a big, big seller. And congratulations, by the way, of getting a UK publisher. I know I've heard that you're actually going over there and going to be doing a book tour. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've actually been invited to speak at the House of PMO, so Project Management Office, and I'm very, very excited about that. They reached out to me because I come from a change background. So my background's change and digital transformation.
Surprise.
pot calling the kettle black. However, I do a lot in that space. Obviously, my first book was around that change management piece. And what they really wanted to understand was, how did somebody who was in change pivot into CEO, and how do you get there? Because a lot of people that work in the change space don't realize that they can actually, you can actually move into the C-suite. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be a CEO and go through an accounting pathway. That's not necessarily the pathway you need to go through. But it is really, the way I think is much, is very different. I'm very curious. So for me, it is that I'm always curious about something new. What does that look like? Will that help me add value? And so I'm going over there to speak about that. But they also wanted to have copies of the book, because in a PMO, if your organization was going to do this, decided to implement 10X Generation State, they're going to need hands and feet on the ground, right? They're going to need that. They're going to have those individuals, and your PMO is really where they'll get that that human capital to help push that along, because this is not just about it's not just about changing an IT system. This is changing your entire way of operating and your way of thinking, and actually inviting all of your staff along for the journey, and inviting them along and to understand your true essence of an organization, not just a vision statement, not just a strategy paper that's a plan on a page, but really involved and getting all of your staff involved, so that they have true ownership. And that's how you go exponential. This is why in a successful startup, everyone has buy-in. They are part of a whole. Imagine how amazing it would be to have that startup culture in an enterprise of 30,000 people.
Yes.
Google had it back in the day, but now Google it's so huge it's lost sight. I think it's lost sight. And so this is a really an opportunity for big organizations, smaller, for all organizations to actually say, we can do this differently. We can put people at the center, which is really what we're saying, people at the center, people at the heart of our business, and really empowering them so that we go exponential together. And going exponential, we use a lovely little analogy in the book. So you know what it's like to go on a flight, right? Yeah. So think of it like this. Your operational level, you're going on a flight. So what do you need? You need your itinerary. You get to the airport. You check your bags. You do all those sorts of things. There are people at the ground crew who are making sure that the plane is fueled, that everything is ready to go. They're your operational people. You got your flight controllers. They're your operational people. They will never leave you throughout your journey. So your flight controllers are always going to be there. They're going to be monitoring all the way. So they're your operational layer. So think of that like your tech hub, right? You get on the plane. Then you're at your tactical. You've got those individuals on the flight itself. You've got your pilots. You've got your flight crew that are actually going to make your flight enjoyable. So you put your seatbelt on, you click, and you're at tactical. So you're taking off and you are taking off into the air. And then you hear that first ping at 10,000 feet. But you actually want to get to 36,000 feet because that is really where you want to get to. That's the strategic layer. So sitting up there, so you're in the clouds and you're on your long haul flight. So that's kind of the analogy that we've used, that sort of that idea of, you know, taking that next step, going further up and then the next step up. But every single component in that flight scenario are all working together to make sure that you, as the passenger, as the customer, as the employee, get to where you need to be at the other end, right? Mm. Because they don't go away. You've got ground crew at your destination point. You've got in-flight crew. They're with you all the way. You've got the strategic people that are there with you all the way. But to go exponential is to then punch it through the stratosphere. And that's what we're talking about, because you don't want to be – how many long-haul flights do you want to take before it's like, oh, hang on a minute. If we just shifted this slightly and took off into the stratosphere, how amazing would that be? And that's 10X generation. That's not another digital transformation, because you will not get there by doing a digital transformation after a digital transformation.
And it's the dream, isn't it, to have the customer and your team and the essence of what you're, who you are and what you're trying to deliver actually both there at the centre. I mean, that's a dream if we're all honest. It's just that that's very, very hard to set. Hard to achieve. I love this whole concept. What I also love, because I've been a startup as well as running large companies, I love that buzz of the startup, and I do try to find ways to keep that, because it's so exciting. You all know everything. You're jack of all trades, and then as you grow, that's the art of actually trying to keep that. So I love that you reference that. So this concept with the 10X Gen, you know, you're saying that it is equally achievable for startups, for scale-ups, for small business, SMB, for large enterprises. It works for all models.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the book, we've got how the model's set up, what you would need to do. Obviously, this is the first iteration. So off the back of this, depending on how well we sell, so please sign up as a launch partner for us. Help get the word out. But the intent for us is to now, once we've launched, is to start focusing on each of those different areas and really drill down. So the way the book is structured, and I think this is really exciting, and I've spoken, and the people that have actually reviewed the book, we had a lot of reviewers that had to go through this QA process with the publisher, and that's really very different to self-publishing. My first two books were self-published. When you work with a publisher, there's a lot of QA involved, and they really do strip it apart. And so that was really interesting, a very interesting process. But we got to that point with the book of saying, how do we best explain these concepts to individuals? And we didn't want to write it as a narrative. We didn't want it to be a story. That's been done. If you've read The Phoenix Project, then that's been done. And we didn't want to replicate that, because this is different. Phoenix Project really talked about DevOps, and that's what that is. This is not what we're talking about here. DevOps is a concept that we, you know, you can use DevOps, there's no problem. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the organization as a whole. And so between Addy and I remember sitting in, there's this little cafe in Richmond that we used to go. We'd have a Monday morning meeting. We'd sit at the cafe. I'd have my brewed chai with soy milk, which I absolutely love. He would have his coffee, and we would sit there. We said, how are we going to write this so that it's engaging, but it's not a narrative? We didn't want to do that. And so we've come up with the concept of it's a stage play. So when you read it, there are 36 scenarios, and each of those is written as if you were reading a script from a stage. So the curtain rises, the narrator speaks, and you have different characters. And you can interact with those characters. And then when you get to the end of the scenario, then it's, okay, well, this is what the problem is. Here's what you do in the 10X generation state. And so we've got 36 of those scenarios. Now, there are hundreds more, but we had to be, you know, limit what we needed to do for the book. But we think that is, and for the people that reviewed it, they said, this was a great read, because they could see themselves in those scenarios, because every one of those scenarios is something that we've all lived through.
I love that. I love it when you can read it and you see the different perspectives. You can go in and out of different roles. You can see things from, you know, where you sit and where one of your colleagues might be sitting. It all will become real. Fantastic, because that's quite an art to be able to achieve something, to achieve a whole new concept that people will relate to, particularly if you're in that situation. Now you're going to the UK and I'm assuming you're going to be booked like all around the world. So if you haven't booked Mary Beth yet, you definitely need to do that. We can talk about how in a minute, but you're going to be having people listening to you from those very perspectives. So while you're actually saying, hey, get this book, and all of you in this, you know, that example you gave that maybe 450 people are now suddenly all reading your book to imagine the change that their organization is going to go through, they've all got to relate to the concept. They've got to be able to see where they fit in that plan, which is such a backflip from being told by the management, oh, exciting news, we're now having a digital transformation and and basically we're, you know, the top leadership will be involved in scoping out the plan and what we need, and we'll let you know if and when we need certain content. And then often it's at the last minute that you're suddenly shown your little section, whether it's education or marketing or whatever it is, and then you suddenly go, oh, I'm all excited because we're getting some new, you know, shiny object here, but it's not kind of what I wanted. Or why didn't they actually engage me? Why wouldn't they ask me? Or more importantly, why wouldn't they ask our customers, the people that we're serving? So there's just so much richness to come from actually thinking about your business in a different way. And this is a whole new way. Which leads me on to, how are people going to find this book, Mary Beth? What's the best way to reach out, to have you speak at their events, to be able to make sure that this book is going global instantly, but how are you going to get to even more people?
Just come to my website. So it is quantumtransformation.com.au/10xgen. So you'll be able to find it. If you just come to Quantum Transformation to that website, and you can click on the 10x Generation page, and that will show you. You can also on there book me for speaking engagements through the website as well. Ordering, we're at the pre-order stage at the moment, and because it is a global launch, there are constraints with how you do a global launch with Amazon. And I didn't know this because I've only ever self-published and it's been in a smaller market, and we don't use Amazon in India. They've got a different tool that they use there to order books, things like that. So on the website, you can sign up as a launch partner. We have details about when we're launching, when things will be available to you. It's available on Amazon.com. It is up on Amazon.com.au, but not available for sale yet because it hasn't officially launched. But you'll be able to see the cover, those sorts of things. We'll do a big spread on LinkedIn. There's a ton of collateral on LinkedIn if you're interested, and you can, if you follow the page, the 10x Generation page, you'll be able to interact with the videos and things that are on that page. And half the questions that you asked, Annie, are covered on those videos. And there's some great, we use a company called Epic Social. Epic Social are just next level when it comes to the social content. And they really understood, Addie and I and our sensibilities. And so when you watch the videos and you watch the reels and the short clips and things, they'll be on YouTube, they're across all the platforms, you'll get a sense of our passion for this, but also a sense of humor about it as well.
Absolutely. And I can tell everybody, I'm looking at this website now. It is amazing. You're going to quantumtransformation.com.au and you are going to be blown away just by how simple it looks, how beautifully it's done. Definitely sign up to be a partner of 10X Generation State. It's really easy to sign up. It's got basic information as we've shared. It's also got really cool videos and things like that. This book is really going global in a big way. So if you're one of those people who want to talk about boarding, taking off, cruising altitude, going exponential, and also doing it in the quickest way possible over and over and over again, you're going to want to jump onto this book real fast. And I love the way, you know, we can have these pre-launch now, pre-orders now, and by the time it just suddenly goes, wow, in a day, your international bestsellers, this is going to be exciting for the author. Here you are on book number 3, but it's actually most exciting because you're creating true transformation in a global way, and you're an innovative thinker, you're a shaker, and this is going to help businesses who know that they need to actually start looking at their business in a new way. You know, whether you're a little business, whether you're a big business, you know, I think this is just such a fantastic opportunity to read this book. And then when you do, you're going to go, great, I need to actually get my whole company into this and reach out to Mary Beth and team when they have further questions. Fantastic. Finally, I just want to honour you as a fellow woman who has gone the path less travelled to C-suite. You know, I know all of my listeners know, you know, I started as a nurse, then did Masters of Ed, then business, around 5 kiddies, 3 degrees, and then now pumped out many books and have big companies. It is possible. It's the least likely scenario. And I honour you because I go, gosh, I was actually in an easier space than you. You've been a woman in tech, in STEM. It has been such a male-dominated industry. And here you've shown that seriously, with focus, dedication, tenacity, just that resilience, and then to be able to get to where you are in C-suite, and then most joyfully, actually having new thought leadership that is going to change future business. So I just wanted to give a massive shout out and honor to you, Mary Beth, because I think you're an amazing woman and what you have achieved, and also now where that is now going. So thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Annie. And I just want to say one thing, just for anyone listening, stay curious. Be curious and question and read and push the boundaries. Do those things because when you get sucked into the sands of complacency, and I am paraphrasing the lovely gentleman Alan Smithson who wrote the foreword for our book, when you get sucked into that space, that's when you stop thinking, and that's when you stop learning and you stop growing, and you really want to keep doing those things.
You sure do. Never stop thinking, never stop growing, never stop challenging that there could be a better way. This is how the pioneers enact change. This is how they actually go, you know what, even if this is the best for our time, maybe there is something better. And I love it. I can picture that scene at the coffee shop when you're getting your favorite coffees, and week after week after week, you just feel the exasperation, the exhaustion, the fact that things aren't working. And when you're sitting there, and these moments can just be a aha moment, go, oh my gosh, we know the answer. It can work. You've proven it to work. And now you're ready to share that. That is gold. So can't wait to hear how this book goes, our next installment. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today. I want you to pop questions in the chat. Women's Biz Podcast is all about engagement with you. So wherever you're listening, on any of our streaming platforms or watching, pop a question in. Mary Beth would love to hear from you if you do it by the chat, or if you go to her website. I'll always follow you up and put you in touch with her anyway. I will give you all the extra details and links on this platform when as this is launched to you. And so we really look forward to your engagement and also your feedback. When you read this book, give Mary Beth feedback. Go on her platforms, wherever you're accessing it, and provide a comment, feedback. That really helps our fellow authors as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Women's Biz Podcast. I'm Annie Gibbons, founder and CEO of Women's Biz Global. And if you would like to fast track your future success, pop on over to womensbizglobal.com, where you can find out how our coaching, media and publishing opportunities are helping women just like you to become and be seen as the trusted authorities in their niche. Inquire today and start reining in the abundance you desire.